Morning, we do have the real privilege of our children and families pastor, Tara, sharing the word with us today, and I'm really looking forward to the message that, God's put on your heart and going to speak to you this morning. So we really want to receive what God's going to speak through you today, Tara. So I'll just pray as we get ready. Lord, thank you that you love to speak to us, Lord. We want to take hold of your word today and cling to it and know that it will produce a harvest in us. So, Lord, I pray that you would really help us to catch hold of what it is you're speaking to us. Lord, just speak through Tara to each of us this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Caleb. Good morning, everyone. You're all looking very bright and summery and lovely this morning. I'm just going to dive... in the deep end of the baptismal pool. As I was worshipping, I was just feeling really tearful, and I was like, oh, is this a new way that nerves come on? I know a nervous wee and talking too fast is usually my nervous signs, but no, actually, it's bigger than that. It's like gut-wrenching sobs, and I just, as we're singing, there's joy in the house. There's people who are like, yeah, sure, there's joy in the house, but there's not joy in my house. At the moment, I'm mourning, I'm in grief, I'm angry. I'm broken. And as you sit here and there's joy around you, there's the promise of God that joy will come in the morning. I don't know how long your night will be of weeping. It's not overnight, it's not flash, fast, or... it could be, but joy will come in the morning. And I just wanted to say that God sees you. He sees you in the morning. He sees you in the morning of good morning, in the morning of grief. Yeah. He sees you in the brokenness. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. So... what I'm going to speak on today, stepping out, Joshua 1 to 9. Let's have a little bit of context around it first. Joshua comes, it's the sixth book in the Bible. So let's start a little bit closer to the beginning where God chose Abraham and he promised him that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky and that they would inherit the land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. That's in Genesis 15. And over a few generations and a couple of hundred years, Abraham's family became the people of Israel, and then they were enslaved in Egypt. And another couple of centuries later, they were enslaved for another couple of centuries, sorry. So it has been 400 plus years since that original promise to Abraham to when we meet Moses, and through him God rescues Israel out of Egypt and out of slavery. Then God makes a covenant with Israel at Mount Sinai, giving them his commandments, and he brought them through a 40-year stint in the wilderness. And I had to refrain myself from singing through the wilderness. Israel camped out, at the end of the 40 years, Israel camped outside the promised land, where Moses teaches them to remember what God has done and to obey his commands. Moses passes away, and that is where we kick off at the beginning of Joshua. I know that's a very broad overview of the first five books of the Bible, and I'll never do it justice in just a few sentences, but hopefully you feel slightly in the picture. The picture is painted of the Israelites, the whole nation of Israel, camped outside the River Jordan, ready to cross the promised land, and their mighty leader has just passed away. So let's read together Joshua 1-9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all of the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You probably noticed that in just 9 verses, there's that little yet powerful phrase mentioned 3 times. And as you know, when there's repetition in the Bible, it's like God waving his arms or flashing his neon sign or doing a little jig or whatever you need to say, attention here, pay attention. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. Oh, I think, now I've lost it. Yeah, and verse 7, sorry, be strong and very courageous. And verse 9, be strong, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Not only is this said 3 times, these 9 verses are also packed with reasons why Joshua should be strong and courageous, and why we can be strong and courageous too. Which they can roughly be boiled down to 3 points, because that's classic sermon strategy, isn't it? So, point 1, we can be strong and courageous because of God's promise. Can you imagine being Joshua? The first 30 to 40 years of your life, you're a slave, living under the worst oppression imaginable, along with the rest of your people in Egypt. Through God's provision and miracles, you are freed from captivity. And then as you're all wandering in the wilderness, you're attacked by the Amalekites, which is in Exodus 17. So Moses instructs you to gather men and go fight. But the outcome of the fight is based on Moses holding his arms up with the rod, and if his arms are up, you're winning, and if they drop down, you're losing. So then by people assisting holding Moses' arms up at sundown, you're winning. So you're going from being a slave to a soldier to being a servant, being Moses' assistant, accompanying him part of the way up and down Mount Sinai to the place where Moses meets with God. You're also selected as one of the 12 spies to go on a 40-day trip to scout out the promised land. And of these 12 spies, you're one of 2 that comes back with favorable report saying that God will, with God with us, we can conquer this. But unfortunately, your people go for the cup half empty version, and now you're stuck wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Then before Moses passes, he asks God for a successor, and God tells Moses to commission you in front of all of Israel. As a part of his stepping down and commissioning speech, Moses says in Deuteronomy 31, 7-8, did I put that as a slide, Bradley? Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So we have a man who's lived quite a life, right? He's gone from being a slave to being a warrior, a servant or assistant, a spy, an apprentice for 40 years, whose leader has just died. So now it's time for him to step up to the reins and lead a nation into their long-awaited promise while mourning for your leader and mentor. If I feel like I'm nervous talking in front of you with a nervous wee, what does Joshua feel like? Hey, what's going on in his mind and his gut? It's no wonder God's giving him the ultimate pep talk, using words and the promises that not long ago had been spoken to him. as the mantle of leadership was passed on. Be strong and courageous. I've the slightest inkling to what that might, to what he might be feeling, going from serving under leadership in different ministries in the church to stepping up into a leadership role where I'm leading others to run a ministry. And I'm sure that you guys have similar inklings of your own to what Joshua might feel like as you transition from school into tertiary study, or from study to the workforce, or from one job or a role in a job to another, becoming new parents or grandparents, getting married. All these things you can feel prepared for, but those initial first steps to move from one role into another can be scary, right? As God is encouraging Joshua as he steps up to lead his nation into a transition of being wilderness wanderers into being courageous conquerors, he says, "You can be strong and courageous because of my promises to you." There are seven promises in these verses that God is promising. Is there a slide for that too? Thank you. The first promise is, you can see it in verses 2 to 4 and in 6, that God's giving the land that he promised to their fathers. The second promise is that no one will defeat him in verse 5. Now, verse 5 is chocker full of promises. That God would be with him as he was with Moses. That God would never fail him. The fifth promise, that God would never abandon him. And then in verse 7 and 8, that they would be prosperous and successful. And then in verse 9, the seventh promise is that God would be with him wherever he goes. Joshua's having these promises spoken to him, and he would also have a very strong knowledge of what has already gone on before him, knowing, like walking alongside Moses for 40 years and knowing the first five books of the Bible. So Joshua had five books. How many books have we got? We've got 66 books full of God's promises. Gosh, I'm glad I remembered 66 on the fly. What is God saying that we can stand on as our foundation for being strong and courageous? In Psalm 105, it talks about God's love, promising his love to endure forever and his faithfulness to continue through all generations. In Philippians 4, it talks about don't worry or anxious, because God will give you a peace that surpasses understanding. In John 8, it talks about God being the light of the world. We don't have to walk through darkness, we've got light. Jesus himself is a promise. We can give our burdens to Jesus. Does anybody else have any favourite promises that they stand on that they want to shout out? Complete the work that he began. Sorry, Meredith. Cast all your cares on him. Yeah, great. I will never leave you or forsake you. Yeah. Most important of these is love. Yeah. And in Psalm 91, verses 1 to 2, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. That first kept popping up for me as I was preparing this, and I didn't really know why, but I just think that's for somebody, that just needs to sink into your heart, that you can rest in the Lord Almighty, to find him as your refuge. So I love Psalm 91, so I highly recommend having a look at that. So, promises. A lot of promises that God has given us that we can stand on as we are being strong and courageous. So second point, we should also be strong and courageous because of God's word. In verse 7, be strong and very courageous, be careful to obey all the instructions that Moses gave to you. those verses, I don't know about you, but me, when I first read them, they felt very regimental. Stick to the word, recite it. And you may know me a little bit, I'm not a very regimented person at all, so that just found a bit gruff. But as I kept mulling over it, thinking about it, researching it, looking at different versions of the Bible, different commentaries, it softened for me. It's not about memorizing it, because that almost brought up the childhood trauma or panic of memory verses, having to memorize them for each Sunday school. It's not about getting the gold sticker for memorizing your Sunday school verse, but it's about having it in your heart. Drawing on what I know about God, I know that He is a relational God. He's not just wanting us to spill out words verbatim from His book, but He's wanting us to get to know Him through His love letter. He wants us to hear Him, to know Him, as we ponder over and over His words, letting them sink into our heart. The meditate or recite, some versions say, the Greek word for it also means ponder or muse or utter or groan or growl. If we're letting His words sink into our heart, that's how we'll know what His promises are. So the points are interlinked, and that's how we'll stay on the right path. Last year with the kids out in Children's Church, we spent the term looking on the miracles that Jesus performed, and we also spent a term looking at the parables He taught. And at the start of each lesson, I'd like to recap and ask the children what they remember from the week before. One, to be like, what do they remember? And two, just to get their minds working and to see what's settled in for them. And without fail, even if 10 or 12 weeks had passed, Jesus walking on water and Jesus calming the storm was always brought up as what they'd just learned. Excuse me. I just love that something was caught in our kids' hearts. We all have our favourite Bible stories or people in the Bible who we feel like we can connect to or be inspired by. We don't need to capture it all at once, but work on capturing it, to keep mulling it over, pondering it, uttering your confusion or your awe or your gratefulness to God over and over, so it will direct us and spill out of our hearts and into our lives. Jesus calming the storm was a little bit of a theme for me last year, as I mentioned, teaching it in Sunday school and hearing it week after week. But then I also got to live it out. So I'm sorry for those of you who heard this story before, but this is an abridged version. But on show day, I went paddle boarding with some friends in Akaroa. And, well, not Akaroa, Tekau Bay, on the opposite side of Akaroa. Here's a picture of how this day started for us. Blue sky, calm, flat water. Here is how it ended, which I don't know if you can see, a lineup of firemen on a jetty. A rescue by firemen on jet skis. Yes. Not as fun as it sounds. Long story short, we were paddling just outside of the bay when the wind very quickly turned, and then the water became choppy, and the wind just kept blowing and blowing, getting stronger and stronger. Thankfully, that day I decided on a whim to convert my paddleboard to a kayak with a seat that you can clip on it, and I have a kayak paddle. So that gave me an extra bit of momentum to be able to cut through the water and to go against the wind. So there was a group of five of us, and I was able to use the leash on my paddleboard to attach to their boards one at a time and try to get them back into the bay, but the wind had taken us too far out, so we were being swept down, so I was able to get them onto rocks on a coastline. The whole time I was paddling, I was praying in tongues, and I was just exclaiming, peace be still, Jesus calm the water, and my expectations of glass flat water did not eventuate. So then I was petitioning God for what to do next. Thankfully, all five of us, we got onto the rocks, and even though we didn't manage to get there all together because of the way that the wind had pushed us down, And we called and we waited for an hour for a rescue, and which ended up being the firemen on jet skis. And as you can see, the weather had deteriorated. Apparently it was downgraded from a helicopter, so it sounds dire, but it wasn't that dire. But after the rigmarole of ferrying us back one at a time on the jet ski to this jetty, then to the boat club where that photo was taken from, one at a time getting back in there, once the door had closed on that fifth person, then the clouds opened up and the rain came down. So Jesus calmed the storm. If that rain had happened while we were waiting in our singlets and shorts for an hour, that would have become dire. So thank you, Jesus. I don't profess to be a great meditator, or definitely not a reciter of God's word, but I knew enough to let it spill out of my mouth in my time of need. I knew enough to know that God was protecting me, protecting us as a group. It wasn't a great situation, but as I said, it wasn't dire. So I was able to keep calm. I was able to be strong and be courageous, and to stand on God's words and promises to me, and to come out untraumatized and able to laugh about it. My third point is to be strong and courageous because of God's presence. In verse 5, it says, "Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you." And in verse 9, it says, "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Just as I was with Moses, meaning just as I was in the burning bush, just as I was with him leading you out of Egypt through the plagues and the parting of the Red Sea, just as I was with him instructing him to get water from the rock at the Battle of the Alchemites, just to name a few things of when God was with Moses. In my final one, my favorite one, just as I was speaking with him face to face, like friends do. In Exodus 33:7-11, the meeting of the tent. Let's read that verse. It was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. Everyone who wanted to make a request of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and stand in the entrances of their own tents. They would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside, and as he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow down in front of their own tents. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Afterwards, Moses would return to the camp, but the man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. So it's not only recorded that Moses spoke face to face with God, like friends do. God is telling Joshua that he can be strong and courageous as the Lord is with him in the same way. Now, I personally haven't visually seen Jesus face to face, but thanks to him dying on the cross for all of our sins and for sending us the Holy Spirit, that barrier is broken down where we needed that intermediary person to talk to God. And now we too can talk with him as friends do. And we can be friends with him. God longs to be friends with us. And as God states in the verses in Joshua, that is a great reason to be strong and courageous, to have God as your friend at your side. What also grabbed my attention in that text is verse 11, where it says that Joshua would not depart from the tent. Joshua was obviously a lover of the presence of God, if he is hanging around to soak up all he can get. Or as one ponderer wrote on my findings in the research, perhaps Joshua was simply spending time in God's presence to know him better because the beauty and majesty of God was so compelling that this young leader couldn't resist soaking and worshipping the one who had obviously captured his heart. Has God captured your heart? I just love those words around that, the beauty and majesty that they can't resist. One of the ways that we can be in God's presence, of having that intimate friendship with him, is through prayer. And if we remain in that place of prayer, that place of friendship, that place of learning and knowing God's voice, we are more likely to hear and be prepared to answer the call of God to step out into his purpose. When we had our annual family holiday in January at Akaroa, a staple activity in the evenings is usually board games. My eldest nephew, who is six, has decided that he is preparing to step up into the big leagues. No more snakes and ladders and Candyland, move over, bring on Uno and Ticket to Ride and all the other games that he wants to play. Uno, he's got down pat. He is a vicious player. I do not want to play against him. But his strategy for this is to ask or beg us to play and to sit there with us and just observe what we're doing. And then he'll pick out the winner and ask to be on the winner's team. Good strategy. As an adult, there is a choice for me. Do I keep my head down, keep my competitive spirit, and have my strategies close to my chest as I play the game? Or do I include my six-year-old nephew in my decision-making by making my strategy obvious to my opponents as we talk it through, including him in each step of the way? Although life isn't a board game, God is wanting to include us in his strategies. He wants to involve us. He's there ready to take us under his wing, to prepare us for that next step, to guide us into taking ground for his kingdom. God told Joshua he will be given the land wherever they step. And that's requiring an action, wherever they step. They needed to step out in faith in order to acquire that land. Are you stepping out in faith? Would the band like to come up as I come into land? We may or may not be called to lead a nation, but we can certainly take a leaf out of Joshua's book to be strong and courageous. Joshua was clearly a very faithful man who had been through 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. But those 40 years certainly weren't wasted. He went through a lot of preparation, to be placed as Moses' successor in leading a nation into the promised land. As I was preparing this, I felt like there were people here who may feel like they are wandering in the wilderness, and they're just chomping at the bit to transition from being wilderness wanderers into courageous conquerors. And I know this feeling well. And some of you, you perhaps are ready to step out and be a courageous conqueror. But some of you, I feel the Lord is saying to use the time wisely and to prepare, to meditate, ponder, and dream, lean into and seek his presence, and to know his promises. And there are people here who have been called to step up into the realm of what God has for them. God is encouraging you today to be strong and courageous, to be bold as well. I keep mucking up and saying bold and courageous rather than strong and courageous. And then it made me think of that 90s worship song, Kia Kaha. Does anyone remember that? Yeah. Kia kaha, kia toa, kia mana wanui. Be strong, be brave, and be steadfast and sure. And finally, I think there's people who've slipped into hiding. I brought up Psalm 91 before and the verse to be treasured, but I think there's people who have gone to God to seek him as their refuge and their place of safety, but it's turned into hiding and hibernation. And you've rightfully so sought that out in God. But today God is calling you out, not out of his presence, but out of hiding. We all have varying degrees of what courageous looks like for us. You might be able to do a cartwheel with these. I cannot, never have been able to. It's been too death-defying for me to even attempt. I easily, and I love to come down the front and seek God's presence, but that might be hard for you. But it might be hard for me to go and ask somebody to keep me accountable for something. What is your level of courageousness today? Is it tapping your neighbour on the shoulder to ask them to pray for you? Is it to come down the front and to have somebody from the leadership team or our wonderful prayer team to pray for you? Is it making an appointment to speak to someone about your next step? Is it opening that book or looking into study options to prepare, to support yourself in the preparation phase? Is it seeking counsel or counselling for yourself or your marriage? Is it being bold and carving out boundaries for yourself in your home or your workplace, making sure that you have space to dwell in his presence and meditate on his word? What is your level or your step of courageousness today? I'm going to pray and the band will play a final song, so you're welcome at any time to make a bold and courageous step of faith if that's what God's calling you to come down the front and be prayed for. But otherwise, after the song, I'm sure Amy will release us out to have tea and coffee together. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for your word and your promises. Promises that you gave to Joshua, but promises that you're giving to us. And that they're such a strong foundation that we can step on them to be bold, strong, and courageous. Lord, it's your words, not my words, that I want to settle into people's hearts today. There's lots of different ways in what you've been speaking to people through in their mourning and grief, in their courage, in their dreams, in their next steps. And Lord, I just pray that you comfort them, that you highlight, that you prepare the way for the next step of faith and courage. Amen.